Hallelujah. With us is a man all the way from North Carolina. I met this man not many months ago, but by the time I spoke to him, I could sense the Spirit of the Lord just flowing in his heart. And he is an apostle. He's done some work in Kenya. And he's Apostle Dr. John Kilonzo. And he resides in North Carolina with his family, and he has his children all across America. And I don't want to just preempt, you know, his introduction. He'll come and do it better than I can give it to you. But please, I would like you to stand on your feet as we welcome the man of God even to the microphone, Apostle Dr. John Kilonzo. Amen. Have you, man of God.
Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much. Just lift up your two hands to the Lord and tell him how great he is. Just tell him how great he is. Just lift up your hands and tell him how great he is. Just tell him how great he is. When you praise anybody, he can give you anything. When you praise anybody, he can do the best. Just praise God to do the best this morning for us. Just tell him how great he is. Just tell him how great he is. Tell him your soul glorifies him. Tell him your soul glorifies him tonight. Tell him how great he is. The singer sang and said, "Oh Lord my God, how great thou art." The singer sang and said, "Oh Lord my God, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, "Oh Lord, how great thou art." God has been so gracious to us. Just tell him how great he is. He would dry the Red Sea for you. He would dry the Red Sea for you. He will cause the winds to be calm. He stilled the sea and there was no more. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Tell him how great he is. God, you are highly exalted in this sanctuary. God, you are highly exalted in this sanctuary. Lord, you are exalted in this sanctuary. We give you seat number one. We give you seat number one. We give you seat number one. We give you the chairmanship of this meeting. We allow your leadership. We exalt you. There's no God like thee. You brought down the walls of Jericho without a single bomb being thrown on the walls. You brought them down. There is nothing that Jehovah, you will not do for us. There is nothing Jehovah, you will not do for us. I have confidence that by the end of this service, the life of every person whom you have sent to this meeting will have been changed. I have faith in thee, God, that I will not waste anybody's time. But Father, and who has come to your house, will go home with a new perspective of who you are, with a new way of worshiping you and loving you than ever before. There is nothing, Dad, you will not do for us. There is nothing you will not do for us. You are no respecter of persons. Thank you for these men and women through their Pastor Tony, who have honored me as a prophet. Honor them beyond their request, do because you are God. The asking is not as good as you are providing. Their knowledge is limited to what they have learned and to what they have seen, to what they know. But God, you are all present God. You are the omnipresent God. You are from the beginning to the end. We ask very little things. Teach us to surrender to you because you got the best for us. Our askings depends on our surroundings and our knowledge. Yet you have all the knowledge and you promise to supply everyone's need. are going to be riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I give you honor in this meeting. I give you honor. Let me decrease as you increase. Take over my mouth and use it to bless your people. I am only clay in the hands of the pot maker. Do what you want with me. I'm available. Thank you for every battle you fought for me to be here. I appreciate you, Dad. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Give a mighty hand clap to Jesus. In the presence of God. My name's John M. Kilonzo, as you have heard. I came to know your pastor a few weeks ago. And when somebody gave him my testimony without having seen me in life, he told me to fly all the way from North Carolina to Dallas, Texas. I asked him which airport. He told me DFW. I Googled DFW and it talked something. And I'm finally here. I don't know most of you. I only know a few girls I called who happened to be my daughters. I told them I'm in Dallas. Look for where Tony Church is and come. And they have come because I told them to come. Allow me, Pastor, to those small girls who are my daughters from the village in Africa, just to come forward here and just do like this. Because I came to preach, they might not talk so that I can preach. Amen? Just come forward here. Don't stay there. You are friends of the prophet. What you don't have, I will give you. Let them just say their names and sit down.
Buonasifiwe. My name is Ruth Kavatasila. I'm from South Bend, Indiana. This is my sister, Kavindu. I came to visit her.
She already saved my name. I'm Elizabeth. I live here, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm Nancy Kanye. Kanye is over there. Is my husband. We live in Fort Worth.
Because I said girls. Because I said, I'm sorry, my Lord. Don't throw my daughter away. So as I said, I didn't know your pastor, but when he heard about the God who has sent me here, he decided to connect with that God, not with me, because I might not have anything to connect with him. But the God I have connected with him and invited me. So, Pastor Tony, you have not connected to a liability. You have connected to an asset. Greet your neighbor and tell him the preacher is not a liability. He is an asset. I will not drain energy from you. When you buy me a cup of tea, I'll buy you a bottle of soda. When you bless me, I'll bless you. I know the God of Israel, and when he is in me, I have everything. I'm connected to heaven. If anybody is a friend of God, that person is me. And once you are a friend of God, nobody can close a door for you. Praise the Lord. So I want to promise you that I will bless you. I want to promise you that I will not waste your time. By the end of this meeting, you say, this is the best place I should have been all the days of my life. Amen? So Pastor Tony, I've not seen your wife. I don't know her. Oh, she's with the children. I told you I'm very new, so you understand now. I wanted to appreciate her because she's the one who takes care of this man who has appreciated me. So thank you so much, Pastor. When she comes, I'll appreciate her. For the elders of this church and the other leaders, I know what it means to bring up a ministry like this one to this level. I've been doing ministry for over 15 years. I know what it means to bring a gathering. I organize international meetings. I organize local meetings. I know you have done much with your pastor to to make this church look the way it is. If nobody appreciates you, men and women who have made it this way, allow me to appreciate you. So any effort you have done, whether to clean this place, whether to dust the windows or to clean the glasses, to make these chairs be available, to make these drum sets be available, through your chairman, Pastor Tony, kindly, I appreciate you. I know how much it costs to organize a meeting of the Lord where the devil is trying to fight back. So I appreciate you so much. And especially in America, where the dollar is so important. I was telling you, Pastor, I don't admire America. Because if I eat an orange, it is for money. And in my village, actually in my compound, avocados and pawpaws and other fruits are the flowers. So anytime I'm eating anything anywhere, I eat with fear. Because I'm used to going to a tree and pull one down. I'm serious. I cannot lie, I'm a prophet. I'm telling you the truth. Anytime I eat a banana, I eat an orange, I'm eating with fear. Because it costs money to buy. While in the village it is from the tree. So I was just telling Pastor, I really don't admire being in America. You might admire, but he has to convince me to admire. Because he's my friend. Maybe he has not shown me the best. When he shows me the best, maybe I'll think twice. Amen? Otherwise, all those words are to say for inviting me and making this place look like this so that I can come and preach. I appreciate all of you. Pastor, if no man appreciates you, please, Apostle Dr. Kilonzo appreciates you. Amen? And when you come to Africa, if you have been in Africa that time, visit me. I'll give you a treat. Amen? Also, when you come, I come from Machakos. When you come to those sites, I'm halfway here, halfway in Africa. When you come to those sites and I'm in those sites, certainly I'll give you a treat because you'll have come to my village. Make sure that you give me a good treat. I'm not a liability, I'm an asset. Amen? I got 5 children and 4 lives in America, 1 lives in Africa. I got my wife with me here. She's in North Carolina. She will not come with me because of many reasons. But next time, Tony, we'll come with her to Dallas. I promise you this is not the last time I will be here. You have honored me, I shall honor you. Amen? Yes, and my God will honor you. And with those few introductions, I am building a prayer center in Africa. I'm building a TV station in Africa. I'm building a radio station in Africa. I'm building a community center in Africa. And when I'm through with that, I told Pastor to allow me to sleep with my fathers and go home to be with God. Tell your neighbor, don't work throughout. Have a plan. I want to repeat that again. Don't plan to work throughout like a slave. Have a plan, and when you are finished your homework, tell the Lord to allow you to sleep with your fathers and go home. This world is not a better place to live compared with my father's house. Yes. I want to promise you, I'm adding to 60 now, and I'm almost finished my homework. I want to repeat that again, Pastor Tony. I know so many people want to make more dollars and more money and do this and do that. I'm adding to 60. I have almost finished my work. Amen. I desire to go with God, to stay with my God forever. Amen. I've done my best. I've done my homework. I'm just building a prayer center. And I put a TV station there. I put a radio station there. I put an executive prayer rooms for the bishops and the apostles so that they can come to pray in my village. Then when I finished with that, I go home to be with my father. I will have stronghold enough, and I've done my best. I preached from continent to continent. I preached from house to house. I preached from village to village. I preached from individual to individual. I have no debt to anybody. I have done my homework well. Amen. Yesterday, I went to Dalham Airport. And as I arrived at the airport, the Delta Airline lady, told me the plane has just left. I told her any way out. She told me, we don't have any seat preserved for you at Georgia where you can connect. I can't put you in the waiting list. I can't do anything for you. I told her, I am a man of God. Do your best. There are miracles, manager. I am a prophet. We believe in miracles. Do something. She went through the computer. And finally told me, you can only fly tomorrow on Sunday at 6:45. And I need $1,000 extra. I told her, I don't have that money, madam. But I need to be in Dallas. I must preach Christ in Dallas, whatever the cost. She told me the second flight will be a few hours later on Sunday morning, and it will be costing $800 extra. I told her, I don't have that money, manager. And it will not tell me my meeting is at 11. She looked around. I asked her, can you check whether any other airline would be leaving for Dallas? I will give you the money for your flight, and I'll pay another one. She looked around, and finally she cheated me. She can't see another plane from American, Air America, whatever it is, United, US Airways, whatever it is. Then I walked to the next counter of US Airways. They told me we got a flight to Dallas. I told them, how much is it costing? $366. Then I asked my Delta lady, can you refund back my money? She told me no. We can only refund you, and we cannot refund you $20 out of what you paid. Then I finally asked her, are you born again? Because I'm a preacher. She told me no. Then I told her what to do. And I told her, God bless you. Let me find my way out. And then I asked her, by the way, do you have a senior manager than you in this company, in this place, so that I can talk to him or her? She told me I'm the most senior officer on duty now. So I told her, God bless you. I left. And that money went that way. I went to US Airways. I told them, book for me a flight to Dallas. How much is it? $366 from here? Or I asked them, from my hometown where I've come from, how much will it be from Fairview? They told me $370. I was with my wife, who was not a very good driver. She had driven Europe for about 1.5 hours from our village, North Carolina. Then I looked at the way she was driving shaky on the road. Then I said, I cannot leave my wife to fly to Dallas. I will go back and fly from home, having made sure that she has gone home. So I drove the car again 1.5 kilometers back home to make sure that my wife is safe. And I went to my nearest airport and took my plane to be here in Dallas. I am one person who does not take a no for an answer. So if you tell me now, be careful. No, be careful, because you finally say what? Yes. I don't take a no for an answer. So I have come here, Pastor Tony, to preach. I have paid a big price because the devil did not want me to come to preach to you. But I said I must be in Dallas. And here I am through the hand of God to tell you your life will never be the same again by the end of this sermon. And the devil has lost every battle. Jesus has won everything. Give him a mighty hand clap in the name of Jesus. I want to speak to you about repairing the broken altars in your life, in your family, in your school, in your office, in America, in your church, in every place. That's what the Lord sent me to speak to you. Repairing the altars of God, which used to exist in you, in your family, in the schools in America, in the churches in America, in the government in America. There were good altars. Kulikuwa na madhabahu mazuri yalijengwa. Some men and women sacrificed, and they built this land on godly foundations. Days have gone by. God has been thrown out of every system. And they sent me to fly all the way from Africa to come and tell you he wants his altars repaired and new ones built. And whoever does that in America, whether black or white, will take over this land. I want to repeat again so that you know what this prophet has been sent to do. God sent me to tell you, this nation had very godly foundations and altars, which made America a great nation. With the years, those foundations have been eroded. They have been broken down and others destroyed for good. Our founding fathers left Europe to come to America so that they can have freedom of worship, so that they can serve God. And in God, they build this nation. In the faith in God and the freedom, our founding fathers of this nation, they build this nation. They sacrificed. Many of them died of diseases. Others, they were drowned in the oceans as they crossed the Atlantic. Their ships capsized and they were no more. Those who left Europe, half of them perished on the waters, if my history serves me right. And those who came here trying to look for freedom of worship, some of them died of diseases they never knew because there were no hospitals. And they laid the foundations of fearing God, which made America what it is today. So that you can come and look for survival here. Somebody paid the price, and that price was not paid through working hard. The price was paid by fearing God. And those foundations have been broken down, and God has been thrown out of every system, including your heart. And God sent me to declare to you, we must repair the broken altars of Him which existed in our hearts, which existed in America. And whoever does so will inherit this land. This land does not belong to some white men. I was speaking to some in a meeting someplace. I told them, your fathers came here in 1700. And they became citizens of America. I told them, I have come in 2011. I am no longer, I'm not in any way junior than you. You came in 1700. I have come in 2011. I belong to America because America belongs to my father. And whoever fears God in America will inherit this land. Shout hallelujah. A big hallelujah. You look like mediocre fellas. You look like defeated fox. I'm saying you look like, looking like is not the same. If you say I saw a person who looks like Tony, that was not Tony. Somebody who looks like Tony cannot be Tony. Be smart. I told you I'm not a liability, I'm an asset. And I didn't come to beg bread in America. The prodigal son said, in my father's house, there's enough food for me to eat. Even the workers there do not suffer. He asked himself, what am I doing here? Taking care of pigs. Yet in my father's house, there's enough for me as a son, and even the workers got enough and excess. What am I doing here? Anytime you are out of God, you are not in your father's house, and you find yourself eating what you are not supposed to eat. Tell your neighbor, be in your father's house. Kuwa katika nyumba ya Mungu ndugu, ukule kama mheshimiwa. Go to the devil's side, you will eat like a beggar. When you are in your father's house, when you are in God's house, you will eat like a king. You will drive like a king. Shout hallelujah. I didn't come to America to be number two. I came to America to be preacher number one. You will open, Kate, you will open TBN. And one day you see Apostle Kalonzo preaching there. Why? Paul Crouch is like, is my brother. When we meet, he will know I have been sent by the King of Kings. He will salute me and tell me I've given you an opening. Why? The Bible says, knock. When I meet the folk, Jen and Crouch, they will open the door for me. Why? I am connected to the King of Kings, who gives them the breath every day. You can think small. You can think like a junior fella. Nancy, you can think like a junior fella in America. I am not any junior to Obama. I am not his subordinate. Obama is the president. He's representing presidents in America. I am representing the kingly kingdom. I'm a prophet of a senior kingdom and an American brother. He's only a president of America. That is his government. I'm now representing the most senior kingdom on earth, which maketh Obama breathe. We cannot be equal. I am not his subordinate. He is my subordinate. Whether you work three shifts or one shift, as a prophet, I'm not subordinate. When you know God, you are not subordinate. You are somebody. I came to give you your value and who you are. The other day, a man tried to give me a job. And he told me, "You don't seem to understand English." I told him, "Tom, how many languages do you know? You only know American English. And you were born with that language. You never paid anything for it." I told him I paid a lot of money to know English. And after all, I know three languages: Kikamba, Kiswahili, and English. And you only know one language. Tom was quiet. And I told him, "Number three, I'm a prophet. I'm a servant of God." That's the man you are talking to. We were on telephone. He was trying to give me a job. I told him I know a lot of English. And I went to have including university. "What are you telling me?" I told him, "You are only speaking American English. I happen to speak British English because we were colonized by Europe." The guy bowed down and saluted my God and my English. Are you getting me? I asked him, "The job you want to give me, will it allow me to preach on Sunday when I want?" He told me no. I told him, "Thank you, sir. I came here as a prophet. And I came here to preach, number one. I will look for another job elsewhere." And I began to preach to him. And he told me, "I come from Florida. And my family is highly disabled. They are attacked by demons. If you want, you can help me." I told him, he told me, "I'll pay everything for you to fly, to drive, to go to my family." I told him, "I'll see what to do." And I'm still seeing what to do. Tell your neighbor, don't sell yourself cheap. Listen to me carefully. Jesus left his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, full of demons, and he went to heaven. There were so many demons in his village and in his family. He never drove them away. He went home and he left his relatives demon-possessed. Only one of them followed him, the one who wrote the book of James. James was a brother of Jesus. The book of James is the most practical book in the whole Bible, because James, the brother of Jesus, he was with Jesus and he said, "Let me do something to show that at least I'm brother to Jesus." He tried to write practical Christianity. Make sure that you read the book of James. It is the only book written by a brother of Jesus. Amen? I'm only trying to say, God sent me here to tell you, if you repair his altars, you are not going to be number two. You are going to take over America. Some people came in 1700. You have come in 2000. Nobody is senior than the other. Those who came 200 years ago and those who came 10 years ago, we are the same. And whoever we inherit America is the one who fears God. I was talking on homosexuality the other day. And I told people, don't try to pray for people, not men, not to marry. Pray for them to marry more. Don't try to stop that demon. Don't waste time. I speak this on our stops. I speak this in white churches. I speak this in black churches. Don't stop any man trying to marry another man. The Bible says in Romans, knowing God as God, they never worshipped him as God. They decided to do the worst. Men, the Bible says, men married men and women married women. And as a result, God handed them over to that kind of behavior. The Bible says, God handed them over to that kind of behavior. Why? So that there will be no more in the next generation. If a man marries a man, you are assured they have no produce, they have no child. When the two dies, that sin of mocking God will never go to the next generation.
Amen.
I speak this from office to office, from church to church. I speak it to homosexuals. So don't stop them from marrying. You'll be acting against God. You'll be a friend of the devil. Promote them to marry quickly. When you see a woman wanting to marry another one, promote them. Tell them, quickly do it. You know why? When they are dead, we will not... God will never be mocked by them again. Don't waste time trying to stop that demon. Let it work first so that they die quickly. Our children will take over this country. Wacha wawane haraka wakufe tuchukue. Kwa sababu watabeba utajiri wao, utabaki. And this nation will go to those who love God. Si unipigie makofi nimejaribu. Tell your neighbor it's not liability, it's an asset. Is that good knowledge? That is wisdom. Amen? I'm sure you'd have accused me of trying to allow that demon to continue. Let it continue so that any man who marries a man, when they die, no product is left. So that line is dead for good. What you need to do, listen to me carefully. Don't misquote me else idea. If you can give birth, do it. If you can produce children, do it. I want to repeat that again. If you can produce children, not outside the church, not outside what the Bible says. I didn't allow that, so that I'm not misquoted. If you are married, please produce as many children as possible. Pastor, don't laugh. One minute. I know how much it costs to produce a child in America. My son has a fiancée. I asked him when is the wedding. He tells me, hold on. So I'm saying, I know how expensive it is to produce a child in America. I was told in many companies, you are never given maternity leave. I understand that. I've tried to do some research to know why you are not having many children. Because I want more to take over this land. I discovered the reason. I know how difficult it is to maintain a child here in America. I mean, to bring a child up here in America. But I was telling my sons, allow us to go back to Africa when you give birth to the children. After 3 months, bring them to Africa. We'll take care of them. When they began to go to school, we'll bring them back here and continue to schooling. Why I'm saying so is, let me tell you a scientific proven fact. If you don't produce 2.5 children at one time, the generation of Ben will disappear. Every generation, every line of your family, if Ben gives birth to a son, he should produce a minimum of 2.5 children so that to make sure that the Ben family does not become extinct. I want to repeat that again. For you to maintain the family line you have, every child in your line must give birth to 2.5 children. If it goes down to 2 children per family, per son, at one time, the Mr. Benz will not be there. They will be extinct. The same way some animals you knew existed on earth are no more. I'm telling you a scientifically proven fact. You know some animals which were there and are no more. Am I right? If you don't produce more than 2.5 children per family or per line, your son should produce 2.5. Your son's son should produce 2.5. Your son's son should produce. Anytime it goes to 2 and below, and in some one family they miss, the Kilonzos in 50, 100 years will be extinct. They will not be there. I'm telling you a true fact. It's not an hypothetical fact. It's not a myth. It is a true fact. So if that's why I'm saying, at least give birth to us, for 3 children at worst. I'm talking this because I'm talking to my people. I have sat in seminars of talking how the Muslims want to take over this nation. Any Muslim in this country is trying to marry 4 wives. I've sat down in those conferences all over. Any Muslim in this country is trying to marry 4 wives. I know where it is written. In the language conference which passed that law, I have the minutes. They say migrate to Europe, migrate to America. If you reach there by any chance, marry 4 wives. If possible, wives, daughters of Christians and other religions, so that we can promote Islam. And when you marry them, give them as many children as possible. The children are taken care of by the Muslim religion. And I'm telling you, in 50 years to come, 60 years to come, there will be a president who is a Muslim in America if they continue with what they have laid down. Not only in America, even in Europe, even in Kenya, there will be a Muslim president. That is the approach. I'm telling you, deep secrets. I've sat in conferences with my bishops all over Africa and all over Kenya to see the best way to stop some things. Those were the truths coming in the conference. We have write-ups and we have every minute written down in Abuja Declaration, in other conferences in Olympia. They have come up with all those declarations. That's why I'm saying, however difficult it is to produce a child, do your best to give us 3. So that the Kilonzos, the Kariukis, the Odhiambos, the Wafulas are not extinct. Wow. Give me a hand clap, I've tried. to give my people everything is difficult and to preach is difficult. I have spent time to learn those things. So, out of the 7 factors which are trying to make the Muslims take over the nation, that is factor number 1. And make sure that you do your best. If you check in Kenya, every office that is coming up in your own country is going to the Muslims. When do they go to school? No. 40 years ago, they knew a constitution would be made in Kenya, and they planned who's, every seat has been planned for. So by the time you begin to look, who will be the Chief Justice, who will be this, those guys planned 40 years ago, and the commission Beng suggested or Beng elected to sit down to vet for that Chief Justice has already been paid for. Yes. Don't tell anybody this. For Ali, Brigadier Ali, to come from the army to be the police commissioner, the president, the government of Kenya was well paid to allow Ali to be the police commissioner with an interest of bringing as many Somali Muslims and other Muslims from other nations to Kenya as much as possible. When we did the census, Somalis became tribe number 1. The census have not been released up to now. Because Ali was brought from the army as a brigadier to the police, to be the police commissioner with a religious intention from the Muslim world. And they did that. When the census was done, we had more Somali men, 3 times more than women. No tribe has more men than women on earth. You know why? Herod tried to kill the baby boys. Pharaoh in Egypt did not kill the girls. He still killed the baby boys. So the population of boys has always been lower than women in any city because of those killings which took place a long time ago. That spirit has not died. It is still there. And in the whole world, everybody talks of the girl child. You never hear anybody talk of the boy child. Yet we are being raped and being molested. And nobody talks about the boy child. All the time, the girl child. They are more than men. So ni bigie magovi ni mejaribu. Is that enough? First Kings chapter 18. Tell your neighbor, it's not a liability, it's an asset. First Kings chapter 18. I'll try to finish my sermon quickly. I've given you what is important. I told you to repair the broken altars. Even if I close there, that's enough. I was sent here, you repair the broken altars. First Kings chapter 18. Go with me to verse 30. I'll talk a little bit up there. But go with me to verse 30. Pastor, I want to preach with you. You can read for me. Just downwards.
Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a stretch around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it out onto the burnt offerings and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are the God that you have turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God, and the Lord, he is God." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there.
That's enough, Pastor. I want to read verse 19 on the same chapter. "Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." At one time, Israel seriously left God and his worship the same way America has done. Every time a teacher speaks about God in a school, it goes to the newspapers in America. You are not supposed to talk about your God anywhere. The other day I was given some work to do to look for my air ticket in Walmart. And I went to work during the night shift. Then, as I continued to work, I said, "What more can I do in Walmart than preaching?" So any moment we would go and sit down for a cup of coffee in the coffee room, I would begin to say, "Jesus, your Lord," in the coffee room. And the next person would look at me. And when he looks at me, I would ask him, And by the way, are you a born again Christian? I tell them I'm a pastor from Africa. They get them interested how I have come. And I preached in Walmart. I was there for 20 days and I resigned on Friday. And the story went all over. And I was told the management knows that you preach using their facility. I told them, I do see people smoking in their facility. Why are they not talking about those who are smoking in their facility? I see people telling their own stories. Why are they not serious with those who are telling their own stories? And as I continued to speak about Christ during my break time, tell your neighbor he's wise. I would maximize my meal time and my break time. I was in a night shift. I would maximize my break time and my meal time. I would talk about Christ all over. To the smokers, I would go there and tell them, do you know, guys, 60% of all the men sleeping in hospitals, the diseases are related to cigarette. They would tell me, yes, sir. And I told them, why do you continue to kill yourself? And a prophet has come from Africa. Can I pray for you to receive Jesus? They told me, let us finish this one. We are smoking, first of all. As I would walk around, I would ask everybody, are you born again? So I don't wait for a church pastor for me to preach. The other day I was flying with the Chinese in the aeroplane. I asked her, Madam Chinese, are you born again? I'm a prophet from Africa. She told me I go to fellowship. Although I'm not a Christian, I do go to fellowships with my friends. The other day I was in the Bank of America. And I was dealing with the manager. Asked him, manager, before we deal with the business, by the way, are you a born again Christian? He told me, my mother is one. I told him, I did not talk about your mother. I talked about you. Are you a born again Christian? He told me, no. And I dealt with him. I don't enter any place in America where I don't introduce Christ. Anywhere I enter, I talk about Jesus. The other time in Michigan, I was the businessmen forum were invited and I was called to the meeting to take lunch with them. And they gave me a chance to speak. And I told them, it is totally useless to have all the money and you die without Christ. You better give your life to Jesus. Every place I have gone, I left Walmart on Saturday night, having raised enough disciples. I laid my hands on some workers. They received the Holy Spirit. I commissioned them to take over my work. I raised disciples, 3 young men. I laid my hands on them. I prayed with them, some of them to receive the Holy Ghost. And I gave them my anointing to continue preaching in Walmart the same way they saw me preach. And they saluted me. They told me, sir, we will take over the responsibility. I told them, I've gone to other states. Take care of Walmart. Not only Walmart in North Carolina, take care of the whole Walmart in Kenya. And I raised my disciples and I handed over. Tell your neighbor, don't wait to preach in a church. Always carry your pulpit with you. Wherever you find a place to preach, put it down, stand on it, and begin to preach. My pulpit is always with me. It is not in a church. I walk with it. Anywhere I find a place where I can preach, Kavata, I raise my voice. And I make sure that I talk loud so that people can hear me to ask what I'm doing. And as I was leaving, I asked the managers, do you have any question? Have I let you down? They told me, sir, you have not let us down. I told them I have gone to preach because your schedule could not allow me to preach. And after all, I told them, the money you are paying me cannot pay my two tickets. I can promise you, the money they have paid me for the whole month can't pay where I flew last week and where I've flown here. I'm telling you the truth. Then the Lord told me, it is not how much you do, it is how much I supply. He said this, I will supply all your needs, not according to how many shifts you have worked, but according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I told God, I've tried to work hard, and my woman suddenly could not pay my 3 air tickets where I've flown. Last Sunday, but one, I was preaching in Michigan. The other Sunday, I was preaching in St. Louis. Next Sunday, I'm preaching in Kansas. Next Sunday, I'm in St. Louis. Next Sunday, I'm in Orlando. My 1 month suddenly could not pay the previous flights. And I handed over the office. And I came to preach in your church. I resigned because they could not allow me to do anything serious of God. They wanted me to work on Sundays, and I told them I'm a prophet. There's nothing you shall leave to serve God. Ukataya kupata kingine. Moses left the office of Ben called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a big title. He was in a palace in Egypt. He said, I will leave this palace and go and serve with the people of God. And when Moses did so, he came back to Pharaoh, instructing him. He left with the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was his original title. When he came back to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of captivity, he came commanding Pharaoh. He told him, Pharaoh, I am not the young boy who belonged to your daughter. I am become a servant of the Most High God. He raised me in the burning bush in the wilderness. I have not been raised in the palace like you now. I have come from the burning bush. And the Lord has sent me to tell you, release his people, slavery must come to an end. And the Pharaoh said, I don't know that God. I'm saying Moses came back as a president. This time not as Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but as a commander of the people of God. And finally, God raised him and the Pharaoh obeyed him. What am I trying to say? There's nothing that you leave because of God. God will never give you anything junior. Moses left a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He came back as the president of the children of Israel. The Bible says, Israel sinned the same way America sinned. And it came to a dead end that the worship of God had been thrown all over and his altars had been broken. So Elijah came to Israel and said, for 3.5 years, we will not see a drop of rain nor dew, so that you may know I am a prophet of God. Elijah stood and said, it is not God who has told me to tell you this. He said, there will be no dew or rain for 3.5 years. And that is according to my word, because you are forsaken Jehovah God, and you will suffer. And Elijah went away. And it began to bite. The drought began to bite. And after 3.5 years, everything had come to a standstill. And Elijah walks forward and comes to King Ahab and tells King Ahab, come, I command you, let all Israel assemble at Mount Carmel. Can you imagine a guy was declaring drought and he's commanding the king to gather the army, to gather all the officials, to gather, and he has crossed the drought. What were mekufa? And this guy comes all over here to command everybody to go to Mount Carmel. What a mighty anointing. And the King Ahab salutes and says, yes, sir, I will gather the whole of Israel at Mount Carmel. Listen to this. Elijah was alone. Baal had 850 prophets, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, as we have read in chapter 18, verse 19. Elijah was alone. He had nobody to intercede for him. He had nobody to stand with him. You might be in America alone. God is counting for you to stand alone and say, I will not commit sin. I will stand for righteousness. Elijah was alone at Mount Carmel. He never counted on the strength of the enemies. He counted on the strength of God. And seeing the invisible, he commanded all Israel to Mount Carmel. Pastor, I have nobody to stand with me. You know, in my company, there's no Christian. Elijah was alone at Mount Carmel, and Baal was with the whole government and 850 prophets. He stood alone with no intercessor. He stood alone with no sister, with no brother pastor. And he told the king, let us meet at Mount Carmel so that we can bring to an end to these games and the jokes. Tell your neighbor there are times we must bring jokes, we must bring to an end all the jokes we have been playing around. Lazima tusimamishe mchezo watu wa Mungu. Kama Mungu ataonekana America, lazima usimame, na kama wewe umeokoka, useme umeoka vizuri, ama utuondokee twende mbinguni. God can do without you. You are not important. After all, you are Wanjiku and you are Mutua. What has a Wanjiku and a Mutua and a Odhiambo to do with God? Tell your neighbor, don't pretend to be important before God. Tell your neighbor, don't try to pretend. God, Mungu wa Nazara, he opened the earth and Korah and his prophets and his friends and their families, they were swallowed in thousands. And God closed the ground. Ah, Nazara, what are you telling him now? You think God can finish the whole of America? What is America to God? Brother, sister, if you came to America knowing God, he sent me to tell you, repair the broken altar of God. You used to worship God as God. I was sent to tell you, begin to worship him as God. He will raise you up. Nancy, atakuinua mzee. Utainolewa. Mwadhanua. Utainolewa. God will raise you up. Elijah was alone. He stood alone. Until the whole of Israel knew that there is a prophet of God. You can stand alone and everybody around you know. I was in Walmart alone. And I terrorized everybody in Walmart from the management to everybody. And I told them, by the way, Madam Manager, I'm a professional manager from Africa. So when you see me doing some funny jobs here, I am not of that class. I'm a prophet and a manager. It is only that kukumugeni anapigagwa na vivaranga.